Good singing. Thank you, kids. That was great. Turn me up just a little bit, Brother James. I'm glad Jesus did what nobody else could do. I was raised by a loving mother, and she did everything for me she could. But there was one area of my life that all she could do was pray. She didn't have the power to forgive my sins or to secure me a place in heaven or to save my soul from hell. But I'm glad there was one who could. Amen. Jesus will do for you what nobody else can do. Amen. Take your Bible and turn to John chapter number 5. Well, I feel like preaching on that song a little bit this morning. We can put food in somebody's belly, and we can put clothes on their back. We can help heat their homes and run water through their pipes. But there's something we cannot do, and that's forgive sin. Amen. I'm glad Jesus can. John chapter number 5. If you're there, say amen. Amen. John chapter 5 and verse number 1. The Bible said, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. And I'm going to stop reading right there. I want to look at this fella who lay by the pool. The Bible said Jesus asked him a question, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? From looking at the crowd we have here this morning, Brother Shane's not here. We've got Brother Moody's sister. She's on crutches, but not many crippled people in this place physically. Not many physically maimed, halt, blind, or withered in the house this morning. Most of us walked in here on 2 good legs. Amen. Most of us walked in of a sound mind. Amen. Healthy, pretty much healthy bodies. But there's another crippling I see in our country, in our city, and in our church that goes unnoticed a lot of times, and that is a spiritual crippling. They used to tell me when I was a boy I was crippled too high for crutches. That means something's wrong upstairs, amen? All the lights is on, but nobody's home. I don't know what condition spiritually you came in this morning. You know, it's easy to put on. And that's what we've got just about in America today, is a bunch of put-on Christianity. A bunch of people who are playing church. Bunch of people who are playing Christian. We get up on Sunday morning and we put on our Sunday go to meeting, and we tuck that King James Bible up under our arms and we put our smile on. We've been fighting like dogs all week, but we smile on Sunday morning when we greet the preacher at the door. Are we okay this morning? I live in a real world. I go to town every now and then and I see the broken hearts. I sit at my desk and hear the couples across from me fighting hell by the half acre in their lives. I'm telling you this morning, you're in a place where you can get some help. Let me tell you where else you are this morning. You're in a place where you ain't got to fake it. Amen. Where it's okay to be crippled. It's okay to have a crippling something take place in your life and put you on the sideline for a little while. It's okay just to be real here this morning. But it's not okay to stay that way. Not when what we have available to us is available to us. There's no excuse for the child of God to walk out with a broken heart this morning. There's no excuse for a family who knows Christ as their Savior to walk out of here on the verge of divorce. There's no excuse for a family to leave this morning with a wayward teenager when we have Christ Jesus right here at hand, who is willing and able to hear and answer our prayer and to heal our hearts and to heal our home and to forgive our sins. Amen. Some of us are crippled by bitterness. Crippled by bitterness. You won't go any further in your Christian life till you forgive whoever it is you're bitter at. Amen. Somebody said, well, what if the person I'm bitter at is already dead? Doesn't matter. You need to forgive them for your sake. Amen. Some are crippled by bitterness. Somebody hurt your feelings somewhere down the road. You need to get that thing right this morning. Did you know that affects the prayers for your children? That'll affect the prayers for your grandchildren. That'll affect the prayers for your loved ones. Hey, you need to get rid of that this morning. I don't know what's got you crippled. I know this is what God laid on my heart. I don't know everybody's heart. I see everybody's face, and everybody looks pretty much happy, and everybody looks like they're in a good mood, and everybody looks like you probably got money in your pocket. Amen. I mean, you do. Y'all look like you're doing fine. Yard full of nice vehicles out here. I saw everything from beaters to brand new ones out in the parking lot this morning. But everybody got something that got them here this morning. I mean, you look like you're doing okay. But I can be fooled. I can be fooled. You can smile at me and shake my hand, and I think you're the most spiritual thing walking. But some of us aren't spiritually walking at all. We're spiritually crawling. Amen. Some of us this morning are on the verge. All it would take is one more little thing. It would be the straw that broke your camel's back. And you and your family would be out of church. There's a pool down here this morning. There's a pool down here at this altar this morning. I believe the waters are stirring. And somebody ought to just come crawl in. Amen. Hey, and by the way, there's room. Let me say it again. There's room to get some help this morning. I want to look at this guy's life or this story just for a minute. We've preached from here before, and some of it will probably come out because it's in my mind this morning, but I'm going to look at it in a little different light this morning. I want you to notice in verse number 6 how this man's story started. I want you to notice how this man's story started. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, look at the next phrase with me, wilt thou be made whole? This man's story starts with a simple question. Wilt thou be made whole? W-H-O-L-E, whole. You know what that means? Complete. Wilt thou be made whole? Hey, listen, the guy, we came in this morning with a H-O-L-E. Amen. We came in with a H-O-L-E. That's what you have in the road when you hit it with your car. It nearly busts your tire and knocks your front end out of line. It's because something's missing. Hey, is there some bumps in the road of your life? Is there some H-O-L-E's in your life that's a little rough right now traveling, a little rough on you going? Hey, we've got one who can fill that hole this morning and make that H-O-L-E a W-H-O-L-E. He said, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? And oh, Jesus looked at the guy and he knew he had been that way a long time. I can't look at you and tell that, but Jesus can. Amen. Man looketh on the outward part, but God looks on the heart. God knows where you are this morning. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good according to Proverbs. You listening to me this morning? Somebody's got a H-O-L-E. Somebody's got a H-O-L-E and it's affecting your life. I'm glad we got a hole filler here this morning. Amen. 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 On the road I live in, every now and then you'll see one of the Paulding County trucks come through with a load of asphalt. And they'll go down the road and they'll just fill up all the holes and smooth that thing out. That's what Jesus wants to do for somebody this morning. But this Jesus didn't just come by where he was, see his need and go, boop, you're whole. Did he? You ask him a question. He asked him a question. Wilt thou be made whole? In other words, it was up to him. It was totally up to him. Now, he could have said, here's a guy who's been crippled, what did it say, 38 years, I believe. 38 years, this man has been an invalid. He couldn't even get in that pool by himself, which I believe that's a lie. I believe he'd have got in there if he wanted to. But anyway, Jesus knew he had been that way a long time, and Jesus walks up and says, "Hey, will you be made whole?" In other words, do you want healing? The guy could have said, "No thanks. That's like a lot of people I preach to this morning. I'm offering to you this morning from the Bible something that'll fill up the holes in your life." And some of you are going to go, "No, that's all right. I'll pass. I'd just rather be crippled. I'd rather be an invalid. I'd rather be afflicted. I'd rather just keep my bitterness in my heart. I'd rather just keep being a hateful old cuss." Y'all all right? "No thanks. Just go on and help somebody else. These others here needs it worse than I do." Are y'all listening to me? Wilt thou be made whole? Yeah. It's not up to him. It's up to you. The question with God is never can. It's always will. Yeah. We know God can. We know there's nothing broke that God can't fix. If he can't fix it, it's not broke. Yeah. The question's in your lap this morning. Will your situation be fixed? Can your marriage be fixed? Can your relationships be fixed? Can that bitterness be fixed? Can that sin issue be fixed? It's up to you. It's not, "God, will you forgive me?" It's, "God, forgive me." It's not, "God, can you fix my marriage?" It's, "God, fix my marriage." It's not, "God, can you straighten out my teenager?" It's, "God, straighten out my teenager." I'm here to tell you this morning, he can. He can. I think the problem is some of you have gotten so used to where you're living, you're afraid to try it another way. I preached this from this scripture one time in the ladies' prison down in Alabama, and the Lord gave me a little thought while I was preaching that thing. I said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" I said, could it be that this guy had become addicted to what had him afflicted? Could it be that this fella became addicted to what had him afflicted? We're going to look at his excuse next. But he said, "I have no man to put me in the water." What excuses are you making this morning? The question's out there. Do you want it fixed? Do you want help? Do you want spiritual strength? Do you want your spiritual legs back up under you again where you can walk and really sing victory in Jesus? We sang victory in Jesus this morning. Some of us sang it like it was a lie, like it was a fairy tale. But I'm telling you, victory is a reality this morning. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 58, Paul said, "But thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." There is victory for the taking if you want it this morning. We see a simple question was asked to this crippled man. Wilt thou be made whole? Number two. I want you to notice a standard excuse. A standard excuse. Verse number 7. He said, the impotent man answering him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another jumps in front of me," he said. He said, "I ain't got nobody. I ain't got nobody to help me. I got one simple question. How'd he get there?" Just a simple question. How'd he get there? He ain't got nobody to put him in the pool. Somebody brought him to the pool. Somebody brought him to the sheep market. Somebody rolled him. Somebody carried him. He got there some way. Hey, there's always an excuse if you're looking for a way out. You can find an excuse to reject Jesus Christ this morning and die and go to hell if that's what you so desire. Are you listening? What's your excuse this morning? He automatically pointed at others. Nobody will help me. It's their fault. It's their fault I'm this way because nobody will put me in the water. Who are you pointing at this morning? Who are you pointing at this morning? I talk to people all the time who won't go to church anymore because they're pointing at somebody. You don't know what somebody said about me. You don't know what somebody did to me. This guy doesn't have any idea what they're about to do to the one asking him the question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Anybody, if there's anybody that knows heartache, if there's anybody that knows pain and suffering, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He understands where you are and what you're going through, and he's asked you a question this morning. Will you be made whole? Do you want it fixed? Do you want it healed? Do you want some help? Now, what's your excuse? What's your excuse? When are you going to stop making excuses? There may be somebody here this morning lost. You've never been saved. Can you give me one good excuse to reject Christ as your Savior and chance leaving here and dying and going to a place called hell? There's not an excuse. There's not an excuse. Well, I've heard them all, Brother Atkins. I'm afraid if I get saved, I'm afraid I can't live it. You can't. You can't. And any of these jacked up holier than thou people who want to make you think otherwise, they're just as sorry and they're just as wicked as you are. I'm tired of sanctimonious Christians. I said it with my best Joel smile. I'm tired of sanctimonious Christianity. Setting a bar that others just seemingly cannot live up to your standard. You're just a sinner saved by grace. If you're saved at all, you deserve hell just like that man down yonder on death row in the federal penitentiary this morning. We're all just sinners. If we're saved, we're sinners saved by grace. Somebody help me right there. I need somebody to say amen. We're all just sinners. I mean, you look around you. You may have on a nice suit, but you a sinner in a suit. You may have on a modest dress, ma'am, but you a sinner in a dress. I'm afraid I can't live it. Look up here at me real good. None of us can. Amen. None of us can. That's why the Jew could not live under the Levitical law. That's why he had to come year after year after year after year. And the atonement had to be made again and again and again and again. But I'm here to tell you this morning, honey, Jesus died one time, shed his blood one time, put it on the mercy seat one time, and that was good enough for all time. Can I get a witness right there? You are without excuse this morning. I can't live it. I can't live it. Me neither. Me either. I believe in standards. I believe a Christian ought to look like a Christian. I believe a Christian ought to talk like a Christian. I believe you ought to walk like a Christian. I believe you ought to act like a Christian. But I grew up in Christianity that there was no way you could live up to. You listen to me? I grew up to Christianity. There's no way you can live up to. This blue shirt, this baby blue, it's sin. It's worldly. Y'all listening? It's worldly. If you didn't have on a white shirt, it's worldly. If your hair wasn't cut just like Brother So-and-so, it's worldly. We all right? Even some circles, if you didn't wear a certain kind of shoe, it's worldly. And I remember growing up looking at that crowd, and I thought, man, I can't be that. For me to be that, I've got to be something else, and that's just not me, so I've got to fake it. Amen. By the way, half them are. Amen. I said it in love and in Jesus' name. Half them are a bunch of phonies. Amen. Crowd trying to make everybody think they're better than everybody else. They're not. They're not. They're not. We got some young'uns out yonder in junior church this morning. And in teen church, they come from broken homes. They come from a house where mama's got several boyfriends and daddy's in prison. Y'all listen to me? But you ain't no better than a single one of them. I don't care how big an offering you put in the plate. I don't care how new a vehicle you drove up in the yard this morning. Hey, we're without excuse this morning. What excuse will you use today to push him away one more time? One more time. This guy didn't even say, boy, that'd be nice. Boy, it'd be nice to have a good relationship with my wife again. It'd be good. It'd be real good to have a relationship fixed with my son or my daughter or my family who I've been at odds with for all these years. It'd sure be nice to have that made whole again. He didn't even say that. He just immediately started making excuses. Jesus said, wilt thou be made whole? Automatically. I mean, he didn't even look at the possibility. Why? Because all he could see was the excuse. Would you even look at the possibility this morning that Jesus could save you, cleanse you your sin, secure you a home in heaven, and you never have to worry about dying and going to hell again? Would you even just look at the possibility of that? Quit looking at the excuses. Well, I can't live it, or so-and-so's hurt my feelings, or this or that, whatever the case may be. Quit looking at the excuse this morning and look at the one who's asking the question.
Amen.
Wilt thou be made whole? Some of you sitting there, you've already made up your mind what you're going to do at the altar call. You've already decided. I mean, we could shut her down right now. You've already made up your mind what you're going to do, no matter what I say, no matter what the Holy Spirit does and tugging at your heart and wooing you and drawing you. You've made up your mind. You're not going to move. Because we're full of excuses.
Amen.
I was a professional excuse giver when I was growing up. I had more excuses for no homework than you could shake a stick at. I would lay into bed and dream. If I'd have just done my homework while I was dreaming up excuses, I wouldn't have nothing to worry about. I mean, some of y'all sitting there thinking right now, now, why ain't I going to that altar? Why ain't I going to get this bitterness out of my heart? Why ain't I going to get this sin forgiven? Well, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to come down the altar. Well, you get under the right kind of conviction, you won't care who's looking. You get under the right kind of conviction, you won't care what nobody thinks. You won't care about that boyfriend, that girlfriend. You won't care about what your neighbor thinks. You won't give a good rip what nobody thinks. You get worried enough about your soul, you'll come ask for help. Amen? It was a simple question and just a standard excuse. I have no man to put me in the water. I'm begging you today, don't make an excuse. Don't excuse him away. Answer him. Wilt thou be made whole? By the way, you're going to answer him one way or the other.
That's right, preacher. That's right.
You're going to say yes to Jesus or no to Jesus, one of the two.
Amen.
I'm telling you, yes is a whole lot better.
Right.
I'm glad that day he called and I answered. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad I said yes to salvation. I'm glad I said yes to forgiveness. I'm glad I said yes to righteousness and holiness. I'm glad I said yes to the one who could make me W-H-O-L-E whole.
Amen, preacher.
He filled in all the blanks. He filled in all the blanks. I'm glad that day he dealt with me about the bitterness in my heart between me and my dad. I'm glad I said yes. I'm glad when I met my dad in that church over there in Temple just a few years ago. I'm glad when he walked toward me, I walked toward him. And I'm glad by the time I got to him, all the bitterness was gone.
Yeah.
I'm glad we had a relationship for those few years before he was killed. I'm glad I said yes. Why? Because today it'd be too late.
That's right.
Don't make an excuse this morning because you ain't got one good enough. He ain't buying it. That teacher'd say, Eddie, why don't you have your homework? And I'd give him this big, elaborate. My grandmother died 50 times. Serious heart attack, man. I mean, it was, and she'd look at me like, yeah, right. The Lord sees straight through our junk, too.
Amen.
Well, I'd go, but, and the Lord's like, yeah, right. If you really wanted help, you'd get it. You would get it. A simple question. A standard excuse. But then there was a striking demand. Look at verse number 8. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. He didn't even deal with his excuse, did he? The guy just said, I have no man to put me in the water when the pool is troubled, but one come and gets in before me. And Jesus said, rise. He didn't even acknowledge his excuse. I would have said, don't you have some family? Don't you have some friends? You've been up here taking up these alms. You're begging money. You got this little money. Couldn't you have paid somebody?
Yeah.
I would have addressed the excuse. Jesus did not even acknowledge it.
Yeah.
He didn't even, he didn't miss a lick. He said, wilt thou be made whole? Well, I have nobody, blah, blah, blah. And Jesus said, get up. He just ignored the excuse altogether and said, get up. Somebody ought to get up in here this morning. Somebody ought to quit making excuses, reasoning why. Somebody ought to just get up in Jesus' name and get it right. Do you know what the fellow did? He got up. Why'd he get up? He's crippled. This man ain't walked in 38 years. Anybody ever had a cast on your leg? Raise your hand. You had a cast on your leg. I've had them on both legs, both arms. I've had them all over. Cast on your leg. 6 weeks in a cast. If you've had a cast on your leg, you know what I'm talking about. When they cut that cast off and you go to put weight on it, you fall flat on your rear end because that leg ain't worked in 6 months or 6 weeks, whatever it is. It ain't worked in 6 or 8 weeks. It's stiff. You can't even bend it. You can't. Y'all listening to me? Sometimes I think we fail to realize the miracles of the Bible. This man has been lame 38 years. His legs have not worked. Let me say it again. Not 6 weeks, 38 years. Not only did he get up, he carried his bed with him. I can't tote my bed with good legs. I'm sure his was more like a sleeping bag, but nevertheless, Jesus made him whole. He stood up with strength in it. Good Lord. Somebody ought to get up this morning and find strength in your spiritual legs again and let the Lord restore what's messed up in your life. Well, I have nobody. Get up. I believe the Lord. I know the chapters wasn't always by verse. I believe it's just a continuation there. Jesus interrupts this dude. Get up. Get up. Well, I would. Get up. But if only, get up. Well, if I hadn't, get up. You've got all you need this morning. You've got the presence of the Holy Ghost of God to fix whatever it is that's broken. To feel, I don't care how deep the hole is. I don't know why I keep running back to bitterness this morning. That's a deep, dark hole. That's why the Bible, when the Bible talks about dealing with bitterness, we may just get sidetracked right here. When the Bible talks about dealing with bitterness, it says that there is a root. Yes, right. Yeah. A root. That's below the surface, friend. Yes, are you listening? Yes, I got trees in my yard. I can see the trees, but I can't see the root. Yeah. Sometimes the root goes way down. My wife had the bright idea. She is going to dig up a little water oak tree in the woods behind our house and plant it in the front yard. And she did, and it died. She said, I don't think my tree's going to make it. I said, don't believe it will either, baby. It's a goner. It's just a little stick sticking up out of the ground. What happened when she got to digging around the little tree, there was more of it under the ground than there was above the ground. And she whacked off with the shovel what was giving life to the tree above the ground, the roots. She didn't get the roots all dug up. They're still in the ground over there where she dug the little tree up. So the tree died. I'm telling you, there's something below the surface in somebody's life this morning that I can't see, and your neighbor can't see, and maybe even your family can't see. But God knows it's there, and you know it's there. Get down there and get the roots out. I'm telling you, that can be fixed. I'm living proof. It can be fixed. God can take hatred and replace it with love. He can take anger and replace it with joy and happiness. Unspeakable, the Bible says, and full of glory. If you want it. If you want it. Why would we choose bitterness and anger over joy, love, and peace? You go over and read them fruits of the Spirit. God has a heavy contrast for every negative fruit of the Spirit. And what He replaces that negative fruit with is more powerful than the one that was there before. Love's greater than hate. Are y'all listening? Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? When are you going to stop making excuses and let the Lord deal with the issue? Whether it's sin and salvation, whether it's this thing of bitterness, whether it's this thing of this relationship. Listen, some of you ladies need to forgive your husband. Boy, y'all died on me. Brother Tommy, go get that defibrillator. There's a few needing it right now. Some of you ladies need to forgive your husband. Man. Every time you get in an argument, do you throw something up?
Yeah, come on, preacher.
Mm-hmm. Or vice versa?
Yeah.
Are you still dragging the past around with you?
Come on, preacher.
Amen.
Yeah, pretty good.
For years, me and my wife would argue, and she'd bring up something me and you did. She'd, yeah, it was your fault, too. Of course, I convinced her it was anyway. But one day, all that just seemed to go away. She forgave me. Amen. She didn't forgive you, no. I still see that evil look she's burning through you right now. Some of you ladies need to forgive your husband. Some of you men need to forgive your wife.
Amen, preacher.
Because it's affecting your relationship.
Right, sir.
I'm talking about forgiveness, like Jesus forgives.
I'm
not talking about an appeasement. I'm talking about forgiveness.
Yes, sir.
I'm not talking about calling a truce. I'm talking about forgiveness.
Amen, brother. That's good.
Did any of you ask the question before Thursday to another member of your family, is so-and-so coming? I'm not in here by myself.
Yeah.
I'm preaching to real people.
Amen.
Well, if she's coming, I don't know.
Amen.
I don't know if we'll make it or not.
Yeah,
you can't sit in the same room with your own family.
Yeah.
But you come to church and pretend like everything's all right. It ain't.
Right,
Brother Terry, we've had to break up fights in funeral homes. I was at a funeral where they had to take a woman out the door. A man throwed her over his shoulder and carried her out kicking and screaming because she wanted to kill somebody in her family that was there. If I'm describing your family, it's messed up. I mean, somebody needs a wake-up call. Your family ain't all that. Family's supposed to love each other, is that right? And forgive each other. Listen, you go down to jail this afternoon during visitation, you know who you'll see there more than anybody else? Mamas. Mamas. Because mama will love that boy no matter what he's done. And she'll go and buy him cigarettes and take to him in jail and put money on his account to spend there. Why? Because she loves him, and the love outweighed this crime or the sin that he committed. I know I'm done. I was over this message a while ago, but brother, there's something here. Something here. Some of you probably didn't even go to your family Thanksgiving. Because a member of your family you can't get along with. Hey, you can't fix that here. Unless they're here. But if you're going any further in your walk with God, you need to get that handled. Y'all listen to me? Hey, brother, my whole family come to my house Thursday. I ain't talking about me, Angie, and the kids. I'm talking about the clan. And all their screaming youngins. The clan. 30, 40, how many? Probably. That's a good answer. 35. 30 or 40, and mama said probably. I didn't dread seeing one of them come down the driveway. I didn't dread seeing them leave either, but hey, I was tired. I needed a nap. Amen. Turkey has a drug in it. Did y'all know that? Turkey makes you sleepy. You eat turkey, go home, go to bed. Anyway. I love my family. Every one of them's done something stupid. Besides me. Just y'all listening? We've had disagreements. But they ain't worth breaking fellowship over. As a pastor, I'd hate to know I had to stand and preach the funeral of somebody in my family that I had hard feelings toward. Had that thing not been made right with my daddy, there's no way I could have stood over his body and preached his funeral.
Amen.
No way. And I not been right with my Aunt Gail last year when she passed away, there's no way I could have stood over her body and preached her funeral. But we as buddies, will you be made whole? Will you be made whole? Well, I'd forgive them if they'd just ask. Wrong. No, you wouldn't. If that's what it's dependent on, no, you wouldn't. You'd use that, your pride would swell up.
Amen.
And in your heart, you'd say, yeah, you was wrong, and I was right.
That's right, preacher.
There ain't no right and wrong.
That's right.
Just get it fixed.
Amen.
A simple question. A standard excuse, a striking demand. Get up.
Amen, preacher.
Rise up, take up your bed,
amen,
and walk.
Amen, brother.
And walk. There was a stupendous result. When Jesus said, rise up, take up thy bed and walk. Listen, I could go to the hospital today, and I could go to every room where somebody has paralyzed or has no use of their legs, and I could say all day long, rise up, take up thy bed and walk. And you know what had happened? Not one thing. Not one thing. I knew it. I was going to tell a joke right here, but I'm just going to let that go. Hear about the crippled guy that went to the faith healer? And his hair-lipped buddy took him. And he was telling the story. And they said, what happened when you took your crippled buddy to the faith healer? He said, that faith healer laid his hand on Charlie's head and said, Charlie, throw away your white clutch. And Charlie threw away his white clutch. He said, what happened next? He said, that faith healer said, Charlie, throw away your wealth clutch. And Charlie threw away his wealth clutch. He said, what happened then? He said, Charlie fell flat on his backside. He crippled, you know. That'd be about the case.
Amen.
I don't have power to heal, but here one is saying, rise up and walk, that has the power to back up the statement that he just made. Get up. Somebody ought to be moving right now. I wouldn't wait on the piano.
Right.
I wouldn't wait on a song. If God's doing my heart, I'd just get up.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Take up your bed and walk. That boy got toted to the pool that day. Y'all come on, Brother Todd. He got carried there. But he walked home.
Yeah.
I don't know in what shape you come in this morning, but I promise you, you can walk out.
Amen.
You may have come limping in on one spiritual leg, or about half crawling, but you can walk out this morning.
Yeah.
Let's stand our feet. Wilt thou be made whole? Won't you mind God this morning? Let's bow our heads all over the house. Some are coming to the altar. Everybody else, let's just bow our head. Close our eyes. Ain't nobody looking around. They're going to sing in just a minute. But before they do, let me ask you. If you died right now, are you sure heaven would be your home? Is that settled in your heart today? You know Christ is your Savior. No doubt about it. You're going to heaven when you die. If you could say yes, a definite yes to that, would you slip up your hand this morning? Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Listen, if you couldn't put your hand up this morning, I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. I just want to pray for you. You say, preacher, I'm not sure. I don't know that if I died right now, heaven would be my home. If you can really know that in your heart, I'd like to get that settled. Please pray for me. Anybody like that this morning, just slip up your hand, put it right back down. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died today. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you so much. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died right now. Heaven would be my home. Just keep me in your prayers, would you? Would you pray for me? Thank you so much. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this morning, we want to thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you're a whole filler. God, that you can fix whatever's broke in our lives. Lord, there's not a sin, Father, that you can't forgive in this room today. Lord, you saw every hand. You know every heart. Lord, I pray none leaves crippled today. Lord, I pray they leave on spiritually strong legs. God, please have your way. You saw every hand. You know every heart. God, please have your way in this altar call, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.